Good evening. We in AA are familiar with the statement that AA is a spiritual program, but not a religion. All right, that has been said many, many times, perhaps thousands of times, and I think that it is said mainly to alleviate the fears of some alcoholics that they are joining some religious sect in order to handle their drinking problem. Sometimes those words are spoken in a kind of antagonistic tone, as though spirituality and religion are opposites and have little, if anything, to do with each other. Well, first of all, the very word spirituality is rather frightening to some people, and the word religion usually is even more frightening to people. I would like to talk about these two things tonight, spirituality and religion. But I'd like to clear up something that might frighten some people, even to hear me speak. I happen to be a Catholic priest, but I am not at this moment talking Catholic theology at all. I would just like to share with you a few notions that I've picked up over the years about these two concepts of spirituality and religion. All right. In order to understand Alcoholics Anonymous and the therapy that it is, it's absolutely essential to understand the disease that this therapy was brought into being in order to help. Alcoholism is defined as a biochemical addiction to a drug. It is obviously, therefore, physical by nature, but I think that it is spiritual in its repercussions. The body is damaged by compulsive use of an intoxicating substance. I don't think there's any question of that. But I believe that the deeper damage is done to what I call the inner man. It's the inside of the alcoholic that is all but destroyed by his disease. Just personally, I knew, something inside of me knew that all of the misery that I was in toward the end of my drinking was a result of my drinking. And Bill Wilson found this out, not only from his own alcoholism, but in the first initial steps of his getting well and trying to deal with others, he found that true of all alcoholics. Now, you and I both know that the compulsive drinking results in denial, which is verbalizing and living a lie, and it also results in aberrant, immoral behavior. You've heard me say that many times. The damage that that does to us inside is incalculable. We all know that the things that we would do, those we don't. And the things that we would not do, those were the very things we did. And it is this that all but wipes us out inside. Now, Bill discovered when he first began to work with people, he tried, as a result of his own kind of spiritual conversion that he speaks about, he tried to appeal to the alcoholic's sense of God. If you get God, you will probably get well and be able to stay sober. And he was finding that they were turning him off. All of these alcoholics were turning him off. He discovered that they were so spiritually damaged that their relationship with God, whatever it had been, was all but destroyed. It was all but destroyed. Believing that their drinking is willful, alcoholics give birth to guilt and fear that others don't even know about. In fact, when I speak to clergy at seminars on alcoholism, I always say, don't ever appeal to an alcoholic's sense of shame. He knows shame that you never even heard of. So for many drinking alcoholics, their conscience becomes deadened The second time at doing anything is usually easier than the first, and the 1,000th time means nothing. And so for some people, their conscience is all but made dead. For others, their conscience becomes unbearable, precisely because they're doing bad things and not doing the good things. All right. The merry-go-round continues, because the only thing that will alleviate the pain of conscience is more of the drug that causes the pain. What's the result? Some people become so terrified of God, they simply say, "There is none, so don't talk to me about God." They become self-styled atheists. And others, in a struggle to be good that results in failure, they're unable to be good, they simply say, if there is a God, and there probably is, I do believe in a God, but we can't know anything about him, we can't please him, he's over there and we're over here and never the twain shall meet. They're agnostics. They believe that there's a God, but you can know nothing about him. Now, when Bill tried to appeal to these people from, you know, the point of view of go to God, he was being turned off. He discovered that he was trying to feed spiritual steak to spiritual infants, and they were gagging on it. And in the very beginnings of AA, when he wrote those 12 steps, step 2 used to say, we came to believe that God could restore us to sanity, and that very word God was so threatening, he had to change it. And he made it more general. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. How did Bill handle this? He was desperately trying to get others sober as a means of keeping himself sober. He knew that they were damaged inside, their minds, their souls, that everything inside, the whole inner man, was all but shattered. He had to come up with a therapy that would take care of that. And so basically, the 12 principles of AA therapy are purely spiritual or non-physical in nature. Yes, alcoholism is a disease. It's been defined as such. And yet there's no surgery in AA. There's no medicine in AA. There are no vitamins in AA. There's no exercises, you know, bodily exercises in AA. You get sober by trying to grasp and live 12 non-physical or spiritual principles. The first paradox of alcoholism, a physical disease is arrested through spiritual principles, not medicine. AA, then, is a therapy that is geared to bring the soul, the inner man, the spirit, in a very gradual, almost unperceived way back to God. He found that all alcoholics' relationships with God were damaged or warped or shattered, and he had to somehow get them back there. The very anonymity of our program was brought into being because another paradox of the alcoholic, he's scared to death that somebody will see him getting well. And so Bill says, just come on in. Nobody need know you're here. And to himself, he must have said, I'll try to get them back to God, but I won't mention God, especially in the beginning. But I do know that the essence of this disease is a very prostitution of human nature, and I've got to make it right somehow. What the paradox of the alcoholic, he fears most what he needs most, his relationship with God. And I believe that it is only the genius of Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob Smith, under the guidance of God himself, that brought into being this therapy that very gradually and imperceptibly got the alcoholic, who very often was antagonistic toward God, back to him. Well, what What is spirituality? What is this thing we call the spiritual life? Why do we say AA is a spiritual program? What does the word mean? Obviously, it comes from the noun spirit. What do we mean by spirit? The principle of life. The principle of life. It is that in us which is non-physical. That in us which thinks and feels and loves and wills. It's called the soul in English, the psyche in Greek, the anima in Latin, the spirit, the soul, the principle of life. All these words mean exactly the same thing. That in man which is non-physical. All right, now the ancient peoples of the Greek and Roman empires had a simple, beautiful definition of the ideal human being. Simplicity itself, a sound mind in a sound body. It is so simple, a sound mind in a sound body. What does that mean? What is sound? Healthy? Well? And the Latin word for sound or healthy is sanus, S-A-N-U-S. And soundness of body comes to us in the English word sanitation. And soundness of soul or soundness of mind is sanity, the same root word. Isn't it significant that in all the 12 steps of AA, the word alcohol is mentioned only once in the first step? The word sobriety is not mentioned at all. Listen to step two. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, good health. A healthy mind, and for the alcoholic, a healthy mind is one that shuns the use of alcohol because it is insane or unhealthy or irrational to consume this chemical that is killing us. And what AA does is try to separate us from that drug. It restores us to sane behavior, a sound mind, which says, don't drink. All right. A sound mind and a sound body. What is a sound or healthy body? Well, here I'm just really kind of kicking the daylights out of the obvious. A sound body, negatively, is one that is without disease or without defect. Positively, it's a body that has been exercised to its full potential. We have the Olympic Games. That word Olympus is the name of the mountain on which those games were held. The very word gymnasium, in which a body is trained and exercised to develop it, the word gymnasium is pure Greek. Now, what is a sound or healthy mind? Obviously, in a negative way, it is one that is free of mental defect. It is free of disease. And positively, it is one that is exercised to its full potential. How does one... I know how to exercise the body. You do certain gymnastic things. All right. How do you exercise the mind, the soul, the anima, that which animates and makes us alive? Through mental activity. I exercise the soul by reading, thinking, studying, discussing, any of those things. That's mental exercise. Now, philosophy, the love of wisdom, that's another Greek word, is the study that is geared to develop the soul or the mind of man. The pursuit of wisdom, the pursuit of truth. My mind and your mind were made for truth. What is? Doesn't the mind even of a little child ask questions like, what, Mom? Why, Dad? Who? When? Where? Why? What? The mind is made for the pursuit of truth. Ultimately, the mind seeks the source of all truth. It's built that way. The source of all truth, that which we would call perfect being, some people call it God. I, for example, personally call that supreme being or pure being, God, but let's just call it truth itself. The mind is geared to seek and find and possess that. And happiness, according to the philosophers, those who love wisdom and pursue wisdom, is the ultimate contemplation and enjoyment of truth itself. So the ultimate goal of spirituality, the spiritual life, the development of the mind, the development of the emotions, what we call maturity, call it whatever you want. But the ultimate goal of it all is the pursuit of God. That's the spiritual life, the life of that which is not physical. This is what the mind is made for, the enjoyment of God. Now, what's AA all about? We began by saying that alcoholism destroys the ability to do that. AA restores the soul of man to what it ought to be. It frees or liberates or looses the body from its prison in the bottle. It undrugs the mind to enable it then to pursue truth. I always like to appeal to alcoholics who say, well, what do you mean my life was unmanageable? The mind of the drinking alcoholic is controlled by thoughts of alcohol. I believe well over 90% of the waking thought of the alcoholic revolves around drinking. What AA does through its 12 principles is to free us from the desire to drink. The mind is now capable of pursuing what it was made for, truth. But there's nothing specific about the spiritual life. We simply undrug the mind and make it free to go after truth. So, in AA, there are no Bibles, there's no hymn singing, there's no worship service at all. It is just a movement. It is more of a philosophy of life rather than a theology or a study of God. And so it should be a threat to no one. AA is geared to restore us to sanity, a sound mind, and free of the drug that intoxicates or poisons. Ultimately, we should have a sound body. So AA tries to restore man to what he ought to be, a sound mind in a sound body. And so, undrugged, we should lose fear of God. For one reason, we're not doing the things that separated us from him. AA, then, is basically a spiritual movement. It is not a religion. Now here's that word again, religion. What does it mean? What do you mean by religion? And what do you mean by a religion? Well, religion in general, subjectively, in a human, what do we mean by a person who has religion? What is a religious person? Basically, religion is the virtue of justice when we apply it to God. We use the term justice when we refer to the virtue that makes us respect the rights of our fellow humans. We call it religion when we respect the rights of God. Now, the one thing that I can hold up as the perfect example of it, for most of us who are listening, we're familiar with what is known as the Ten Commandments. The first three commandments concern the rights of God that perhaps we should respect, and the last seven refer to the rights of our fellow man that we should respect. And so, when it comes to our fellow man, we should honor our parents, we should refrain from killing, from stealing, from lying, from coveting, from taking, or thinking about taking what doesn't belong to us,